right, so today we're going to be talking from Daniel chapter 3. I've been talking a lot about from Daniel. It's such a special book because it's about a time during the history of Israel where they were in what they called the exile. They were taken captives from Judah, you know, from Israel, you know, into this land of Babylon as a chastisement because of they had not been following the commandments of the Lord. So they're now in Babylon, but it so resembles present day because we're in a secular state, so to speak. You know, our former President Obama said, oh, we're no longer a Christian nation, you know, even though we were founded by Christians. And I'll just say this. 29 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were graduates of seminaries, of Bible schools. So they weren't just like church people, you know, that went occasionally. They were deeply devoted. Only about three of them would be considered what they call deists. They were like, yeah, we believe in God, but we're not really sure who they are. But the great majority of them were people that loved God. Not only that, when they first began the Continental Congress, they started with reading of the scriptures and fasting. Okay, in the first few years of this nation, there was a ton of fasting and praying that was going on. And so those are the roots of our nation. Even before that, during the times of the Puritans in the 1600s, John Winthrop, you know, one of the first governors of the new colonies, he said, he quoted from the scripture, says, we are a city on a hill. You know, Matthew chapter 5. It says, a light that cannot be hidden. You know, and so he knew that America, prophetically was speaking, was to be a nation that was to influence the rest of the world. That is why it's become part of our foreign policy. You've probably seen a lot of presidents quote that. We're in a city on a hill. We're in a city on a hill. You hear it from different politicians. It's because it's in the roots. It's in the DNA of America. We were called to be a place of freedom. Yes, like anything, we are sinful. We make mistakes. We do things. You know, we hurt people. But, you know, that does not take away the purpose, you know, and the DNA that God has given this nation. And the Bible says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then he says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So that's what we've been crying out. And I believe, I truly believe, since my lifetime, I've been an American since 1998. I arrived in the U.S. in 1986 from the nation of Mexico. And I can tell you, that I've never seen Christians more involved in politics than in the last few years. People are praying like you cannot believe. There's more calls to fasting. By the way, Jonathan Kahn is calling the nation to fast on November 3rd. There's other pastors and prophets that are calling us to be praying and fasting even today or tomorrow. So however the Lord leads you, today, tomorrow, the next day, you know, I would really recommend that you go into some fasting because we don't want to just have a little victory. I believe God's going to give us a major victory. We want like an obliterating, momentum-building type of victory in the nation. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about this chapter where it talks about the fire furnace. How many of you are familiar with that story? The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace. You know, but it tells us that there was a fourth man, right? Who was the fourth man? Is Jesus. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the friend of sinners. Hallelujah. He's the one who sympathizes with our pain because he went through every human emotion and condition. Did you know that Jesus went through loss? He lost loved ones. He had hunger, pain, betrayal, rejection. He was misunderstood. He had lack, you know. And some of you have gone through those emotions and maybe you're going through some stress. So today I want to talk about Jesus and how he's able to get us through the most difficult situations. So the title of my message is called The Fourth Man. Because only three men went into the fire, but then the other people said, wait a second, there's a fourth man there. Somebody's with him. And it says that when they came out, it says they hadn't been touched by the fire. They didn't even smell the smoke whatsoever. And I believe that God is calling us to stand for what's right. So we're going to read from Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. We're going to go through this whole chapter. So I'm going to read quickly. I'm just going to point out some things. And then I'm going to give you 3 points. Okay? So let's begin. So you didn't know you were going to have a Bible lesson right here today. But that's what we're getting. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 90 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever the race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They tattletale, right? They said, "Ooh." They said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown in furnace. But there are some Jews." And you can say, "But there are some Christians." Come on. Everybody seeing the parallel? "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon, they pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? The legislation that I wrote? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" Come on. Let's just go home. I'm done. That just preached itself. All right, so point number one, listen to this. Spirit-filled Christians are the biggest threat to Satan's Antichrist agenda. Notice that I didn't just say Christians. I said spirit-filled Christians. We need a people that where the Spirit of God is so over you, there's a boldness, there's a wisdom, there's a discernment. Amen? The prophetic just stirs you up. You know. It's so nice to know that the God says in the Scripture that we should, you know, always listen to God and to His prophets. That's what the Bible tells us, that we should not despise prophecy. So we're like, "Oh, you know, it's like a fortune cookie." We cannot do that. God is speaking through His people, and it's interesting that there's been a concerted message from prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet. Anybody that's listening, believe me, I listen to a lot of prophets during the week, and I see there's everybody's hearing the same thing. We're going to have a major victory, you know, in the days to come. You're going to see it, and you're going to remember this. Amen? Hallelujah. But Christians are opposing an agenda that's Antichrist. Antichrist. Antichrist is a person, but it's also a spirit. There's a spirit behind the person, and even though the person hasn't come into the scene, the spirit has been loose in the world since biblical times. You know, the epistles talk about it. It says the spirit of the Antichrist is in effect. So there's been a plan in effect which began in the mind of Satan for the enemy to cause for legislation to be codified, which will allow for secular humanists, for Marxists, and frankly, for those who hate and oppose God to stop us from freely worshiping, to stop us from influencing America and the nations, and to not only lock us up, but actually be empowered to kill us. The intent is to codify everything that is good to be called evil and for everything that is evil to be called good. The enemy, through news media and entertainment, has been able to change terminology as to confuse the issues and get their agenda through. So listen to this. Prophet Jeremiah Johnson just stirred me up this morning. Okay, did you know that Biden, candidate for presidency, Biden, they asked them point blank, "What are you going to do the first 100 days of your, if you were elected as president?" And he said, "I am going to pass the Equality Act." And some of you are like, "What is the Equality Act?" Well, I'm glad you asked that. Okay. So basically, it does four things. Let me tell you the first thing that it's going to do. It's going to make sexual orientation and gender identity protected under the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So that means that hiring practices, churches, you know, included, will not be able to say, well, you know, it's my freedom of expression of my religion or what I believe. That's why, you know, we don't hire this type of people. Pastors will not be able to be prosecuted for preaching against anything that's LGBTQ+. Now, the Bible tells us that it's a sin. And we believe that God can change anyone, can change every heart. But there's some people that are struggling with these sins, but then there's a bullying spirit also. Just like in radical feminism, there's some women that have been beat up and abused, but there's also a spirit of Jezebel, you know, that is funding, that is sponsoring radical feminism. Amen? So we will not be able to speak up against those things without getting in trouble. But the Bible commends us. It tells us, you know, that we have to do what God tells us to do before what people tell us to do. That's the only time we can deviate from what the government tells us, when it goes directly against the Word of God. So this act would, you know, take away the protections that we have today. It would also give bathroom and locker room access to individuals based on their gender identity, not birth sex. It would be the federal law. Okay? It would also prevent religious Americans from seeking exceptions from provisions of the law under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 93. And finally, it would change the definition of sex to include pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions. See, they're changing the terms. They're inserting these things into the law so that when we say, hey, I don't want to pay for an abortion. Sorry. It's in the law right here. It's federal law. You know, pregnancy is covered under it. So now you and I don't have a say, and you can't say no, and you have to fund, you know, the abortion industry. So these are the things that this man wants to put into effect to appease the radical left. And so he picked the most radical of all senators as his running mate, and that should tell us something. You know, normally we're not this direct, but this is what Jeremiah Johnson says. Listen, there's never been in the history of America a time that it was so easy to decide who to vote for. If you don't read the scriptures, if you don't take into account the whole counsel of scriptures, then you're confused about this. But anybody who has read the scriptures, who has the Spirit of God in them, knows instantly this is not good. It's not about personalities. It's not about styles. It's not about Twitter accounts. I'm telling you, it's about an agenda. And God has given us this man, Trump, whatever you may say about him, as a window of grace for America. It needed to be an outsider because the political establishment was so corrupt. Somebody from the outside had to come in and rattle the cages. He's not joking about draining the swamp. There's corruption on both sides. The Republicans and the Democrats. So it had to be an outsider, somebody who was not funded by them. God had to bring in a billionaire. I'm telling you, has there been this easy? And you know, you may not like me, but I'm telling you what the Spirit of God is saying to me, has been saying to me for months, and now can I just sit here silent and tell you that it's okay to vote for whoever you want? I'm telling you, we got to vote. If you say, you know what, it's not going to make a difference in Arizona, you need to get on vote. Because it's not just the president we're voting for. We're voting for senators. And if we lose the Senate, there's going to be a lot of trouble. So we don't just want a little victory. We want the full force of the victory. We want the whole momentum. So pray that God will change hearts. There's prophets that have been saying that even white liberals are going to vote for Trump, but they won't tell anybody. The many of them are going to. They're afraid to tell people. They're seeing what's happening. You know, so it's not about, you know, politics. It's really about good and evil today. So what are some of the things that we're seeing? The terms being changed. Abortion, what do they call it? Reproductive rights, women's rights, pro-choice, women's health care, instead of calling it abortion or murder. You know? Oh, global warming wasn't good science anymore, so they called it climate change. Climate change, just change the terms. They've even changed the term from court packing. For decades, we've known what court packing means, adding seats to the Supreme Court. Said, oh, no, that's not what court packing means. The Republicans have been court packing. by appointing people. No, that's not what court packing means. And it's been like that for 150 years. Even their big hero, Ruth something Ginsburg, Bader Ginsburg, she said that, hey, nine people has been good for America for 150 years. Don't change it. Christians today are being labeled as extremists, fundamentalists, fascists, intolerant, and even racist. The legislation, like in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, has been enacted to cause for the people of God to make a choice. To bow down to this statue of secular humanism and Marxism. The purpose is to demonize us in order to garner enough support to pass legislations that will oppose the work of Christ, that will hinder the furtherance of the gospel. I'm telling you, a lot of people say, oh, Americans are so self-centered. I'm telling you, there's no more influential nation in the world like America. It's not about pride. Sometimes I don't like singing that, I'm proud to be an American. No, we should sing, I'm grateful to be an American. Because, and maybe it's a different kind of pride, but we cannot. It's not like we did something about it. Yes, people have died for it, but it's God's grace. God blessed us with His grace in this nation. He rose it up for a purpose. So point number two, it's time for Christians to stand. It's time for Christians to stand. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. We continue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. And He always will. He always has a remnant. We heard it today. Hallelujah. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. These were like those Davids that I was talking about. All we need is for some people to stand up. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we can stand up too. 18, but even if He doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Come on. We need for people to dig into the ground and say, I know what the Word of God tells me to do. I'm not going to give in to these agendas. I don't care how cool it is, how popular it is. I don't care how many people in Hollywood are saying, it's the way to go. I'm telling you, the road to perdition is wide. That's what the Scripture tells us. And the road that leads to life is narrow. So when everybody's telling you to go one direction, you always need to wonder, I probably should be going the other way. Standing means trusting in God, trusting in the whole counsel of the Word. All of it. There's themes. There's things that the Bible teaches, all throughout that give us a good sense of where God is going. Of course, there's prophecy that helps us today. And so we need to trust in prophetic voices that God has used over time. There's going to be suffering and persecution that will come. Jesus promised that, right? He said, in this world you will have affliction, first of all. There's going to be problems. You're going to have difficulties. They're coming. It's just the way of life. Anybody here not ever have any problems? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, that's good, brother. I'm glad we need your advice. And he also said, yes, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. We were too comfortable for so long here in America. While there was things being done behind the scenes to drive God out of America, and we accepted it. We thought, these are pretty nice people. They're pretty sophisticated. They're looking out for us, right? But no. But now that they really have revealed their agenda and they're pressing the believers, I'm telling you, the boldness of the Christians is rising up to say no. So let me put this in layman's terms. Some are undergoing stress today because of the cause of Christ. This is stressful. But let me tell you also, some of you are also going under stress because of your own doing. Because of our pride. Because we love our opinion. And if our opinion is not in the Word, then it's not good. So I really felt that I wanted to talk about some psychological things to help some people here. Okay? So, in psychological terms, stress is anything that causes your body or mind to adjust in any way. There's good stress and there's bad stress. We all need stress of some kind. You everybody understand that? Okay? Like gravity is always exerting, a pull towards the center of the earth. There's a gravitational field. And so, that makes our bones stay strong. If there was no gravitational pull, we'd just become blobs. Does that make sense? There's a good kind of stress. Yeah, you got to strengthen your core. Right, Chris? It's important. So there's healthy stress, like gravity, like I said. But sometimes there's an accumulation of stress which causes psychological discomfort in the form of anxiety and depression. And so I want to talk to some people that are going through anxiety and depression of different kinds. I believe I can give you some counsel from Scripture that can help you cope with some of these things. Amen? Because some of you can't even sleep. And some of you easily get sick. Those are just physiological the manifestations, thank you, of the stressors. So there's four types of stressors. The first one is psychosocial. These are changes in your lifestyle. It could be career, relationships. They just bring a natural stress. When they do stress tests, they add up all the points and say, okay, this type of stress adds this many points, this many points. And when you get to so many in your life at any one time, you're like, ooh, you could easily get sick. You better get into vitamin C. You need to get more rest. You may need to take a vacation, brother, you know, because you just have so many events that are accumulating in your life where you need to run. There's also even environmental stressors, like hot and cold. And you know, if you're sitting, maybe your job is, like, let's say you work with engines, you know, like that noise, that become environmental stress in your life. But those are not the worst kinds. There's also what we call self-imposed stressors, like abusing drugs, you know, whether prescribed or not, alcohol, you know, our bad decision-making, lack of rest. Those begin to build up our stress. And then there's the kind that I really want to get to, cognitive stressors. You know, one called the must versus the shoulds. In other words, inflexibility. Some of us think we're calling a must something that is a should or could or maybe should. You know, it's okay if it doesn't happen. We get so set on an outcome. Even as we look at the election, but even like, no, I need to have this relationship. I need to have, you know, this job. I need to live here. I need to, whatever it is that you just set so set onto it, instead of asking God, what do you want for my life? The King David would say, you are my cup, my inheritance and my reward. Basically saying, Lord God, it doesn't matter what happens to me, as long as I'm connected to you, it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Right? Like that card that the Hostons have, you know, what does it say? Everything will be all right as long as we're together and we have some snacks. Yes. As long as we have some snacks. So as long as Jesus and snacks are in the picture, I'm telling you, everything is going to be okay. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus take his disciples and fed them bread? And Hallelujah. So when our beliefs and expectations do not match our reality, it produces unnecessary stress. When the little stressors man up, they can have similar effects to a catastrophic event. So you can have one big bad thing happen to you, or you can have a whole bunch of little things happen to you, and you're just like, I just can't think. I just can't sleep. Something's not right with me. You know, I'm just not. Something's wrong. You know, let me give you some examples. I change jobs. I work outside in the cold, not getting enough sleep due to kids, and believing that you can't be happy unless a certain outcome is your way. Some are still trying to do things your way or the world's way, and they're not going to work. The Bible talks about godly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. We need godly wisdom. What does the Scripture say? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So sometimes we get cognitive stress because we also don't make decisions. You know, making a decision relieves stress. You're like, I need to make a decision. And you have like maybe one or two or three choices. You're like, and then you get what we call analysis paralysis. Anybody get analysis paralysis? You have choices before you. You know, should I take that job or that job? You know, should I move here or move there? Ooh, should I send my kids to this school or that school? Should I go to this career or that career? You know what? Sometimes just make a choice. And that relieves the stress. Just make a choice. Pastor Joseph would always say, you can't steer a ship that's not moving. You know, you're praying and you're like, Lord God, I believe you lead me this way. I'm going to take it. You start stepping into it and you're like, oh, that wasn't it. So then you step back and then you go the other direction. But sometimes even as you take it, you get that confirmation, you're in the right path. And then all of a sudden, you know, things start moving forward. So relieve some of your stress and take some good decisions, obviously on the prayer and counsel. Okay? The Bible says, but being lukewarm will cause us to be spewed. We don't want to be in the middle sometimes and things. Just, I used to say, you know, to the youth, I said, you need to be opinionated, you know, because if you don't have an opinion, people will make it for you. So you should not have an opinion about things, especially out in the media, okay? Some people also can't focus on the here and now. They either live in the past, come on. Some people live in the future, and some people live in a fantasy world. Always daydreaming. What is that movie with, you know, the Secret Life of Walter Mitty? Isn't it interesting? It's such a powerful movie because he lived in a fantasy world because he didn't get to do some things he wanted to do. And finally he said, you know what? I'm going to do them. And all of a sudden he started living out his life and the fantasy stopped. You know, so don't live in the past. The Bible says that your sins are forgiven. You know, that as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says that he puts your sins at the bottom, you know, of the ocean. And some of us just live with regrets and pain. You got to forgive yourself. But also, it's always people live in the future. It's like, oh, I won't be happy until that happens. Until I have this, until that event. We have that event mentality. Instead of seeing the process. God is in the process. God is in the today. Jesus said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for every day brings its own toil. Oh, someone's already stressing about 2021. You know what? Just get through today. Get some snacks. You know? Just go to church, watch a game, get some snacks, take a nap. You know, maybe you think it'll be a little bit better. Ephesians 5:17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Just see God. He doesn't play cloak games. He's not trying to hide his will from us. Some things are just plainly right there. You know? What does the commandments boil down to? It says love God and love people. Loving God, loving people. Did you guys know that Danny Gokey wrote a song just about our church? Love God, love people. So some of us are locked into specific outcomes, you know, and we need to make decisions. We need to know what God is saying. Isaiah 26:3, here's the key for everybody here. You will keep in perfect peace. How many need perfect peace today? Come on. Oh, how I need perfect peace. People need peace. There's the one thing that people need. They don't need a Lamborghini. They don't need a mansion. Come on. They don't need more vacations. What they really need is peace, because your troubles will follow you to all those places. But when the peace of God is in your heart, there can be a storm out here, but if the storm in here is still, everything's going to be good. And it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who what? Trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Another version says, who meditates on him. We must rest in God. These three men received the peace because the fourth man was there. They trusted in him. Trusted in God no matter what the outcome would be. They said, we're not going to bow down. God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're going to be all right. Because our reward is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We're just passing through here. We're sojourners. Hallelujah. Don't get too clingy. You know, that's one thing that we're so inflexible. We think the world is it. Oh, we got to live our life. You know, Jesus said, hey, just live it loosely. Anybody who wants to cling to his life, he will lose it. But anybody who loses his life for me will gain it. Interesting, the greatest man born of a woman, John the Baptist, as Jesus described him, only lived into his 30s. But he did everything he was supposed to do on earth. So ultimately it comes to trust, and it comes to not truly, some people are not truly seeing God as their Father, as their Heavenly Father, somebody who truly wants to take care of them. That's what it is. I keep saying this, you don't just want God to be your Lord and Savior. Some people need to understand that he's your Father. And then once he's your Father and you get the revelation of sonship, then you need to go on that he wants to be your friend. He wants to spend time with you. Hallelujah. Like Abraham, like Moses, like Enoch. They walk with God. Hallelujah. We want to be friends with Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. And that's why I share my will with you. Hallelujah. So it comes down to the battle of the mind. Isn't it true? The battle's right here. Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The battle is right here. So we need to get the word in here so that our inflexibility of thinking, so that, you know, living in the past, living in the future, or living in the fantasy, you know, stops, you know, affecting us. Got to get the toxic thinking away from us. It is being able to say, I may not understand everything that is going on. I may not ever have the full answer. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, He takes away, like Job said. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I may perish in this fire, but I'm going to go down swinging. Hallelujah, carpe diem. You know, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to make you, you're going to remember me after this happens. You know, they were willing to step out. They didn't know the outcome yet. They didn't know, oh, God's going to save us. They're like, we're not going to bow down. God can deliver us. You know, it is likely that 50% of the people in America will be very disappointed in the results. But if your mind is stayed on Him, the merciful one, the one that controls the course of human events, the one that props up kings and removes kings, no matter what we perceive, listen, no matter what we perceive, because sometimes it's a matter of perception and also expectations, we must know that God is for us, not against us. Hallelujah. And He's able, like we sang over and over, to take something that what the enemy meant for evil, He can turn it around for your good. Hallelujah. How many have seen that in your life? That something the enemy tried to use against you, God turned around and used it for your very blessing. Yeah. Oh, only a few of you. I wish all of you would say, God is for me. God is saving me. Yes. Even if the world hates us, it's going to happen. Let's get over it. Why? Because there's a spirit behind it. There's a spirit of Antichrist. There's a devil that's funding all that. So change the way you appraise things to the kingdom way, and you're going to see your heart set free. I hope this is helping somebody. I really believe this is for somebody here today. Be willing to let go and let God. Let go and let God. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, let's continue so we can finish this story. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. You know, the devil is... It's a devil right there. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had the man in such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers and they threw the 3 men in. Come on. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, hallelujah, but suddenly, oh God, we need suddenlies. Hallelujah. I don't know if your spirit is being stirred, but my spirit is stirred up. That there's some suddenlies coming for America. Hallelujah. Some Goliaths are going to be toppled down. And it says here that Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement, to the amazement of all the people. Everybody will see it and exclaim to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. They replied, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed. There's things that people are drowning on that you are walking over, you know, right on the water. Why? Because there's a 4th man there with you, or a 2nd man, or a 3rd man in your marriage. You know, he's there. Hallelujah. The 4th man is Jesus. It says the 4th looks like a God. This is a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of God in body form, or Jesus Himself. Hallelujah. And last point, point number 3, if we stand, God is going to give great favor to the church, capital C church. Yes. Now I'm just talking about Shiloh, I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ all over the world, but we must stand. I mean, there's people that are being persecuted all over the world. And they're standing up for Jesus and they're seeing mighty miracles and deliverance. It is no different here. You know, it's just come our time for us to be pressed like olives. That a sweet anointing, you know, just a holy anger would rise up in us to mobilize. Not to hate people, but to do what God's called us to do, to love people. Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 to 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Oh, how you changed his tune, right? Oh, he changed his tune. Servants of the Most High God, come out! Come here! So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. The fire had not touched them. Hallelujah. God saying, the fire is not going to touch you. Hallelujah. Fear not, for I am with you. When you go through the fire, I will be there. That's what Isaiah 43 says. They didn't even smell a smoke. Hallelujah. It says, not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise. Now people are praising God. Remember what I was saying? By the Spirit of God, a lot of people that are hating on Christians, God's going to turn their hearts. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord was going to fall upon more people. There's always going to be opposition, but I'm telling you, there's a great harvest coming to America. Then the book of Isaiah said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's still not his God, right? Oh, their God. You know, but he needs to make him his God. Hallelujah. And this happened later on in the book of Daniel. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. No matter what legislation is written, we must stand. Hallelujah. We must be counted, because if we do, great favor will be released. So check this out. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Ooh. You know, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Let me say that again. There is no other God who can rescue you. Who can rescue you like this God. Then the king, what does it say? Hallelujah. He promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions. That's favor. Oh, God's shining his face upon them. His grace is upon them in the province of Babylon to shine a light, to give greater influence. That's what we say, that pray, research, vote, and influence. Leadership is influence. God wants the church to be most influential in America. So it's just time to stand, people of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's. And God has given us this window of time, a respite. But listen, much like in Jonah's time, remember he went to Nineveh, he said, hey, God's going to destroy the city. And it says that the whole city, 200,000 people, 120,000 people, I forget the number, they repented. It says they even fasted, and they made even their animals fast. And God relented. Praise God. But guess what? 200 years later, they went back to their old ways and God destroyed Nineveh after all. So God has given us a window of time. And you need to say, not in my watch. You know what? I got my kids and my grandkids, you know, and millions of souls to fight for. You know, that this city will be different than when we first found it. You know, like say about going someplace, you know, leave it better than the way you found it. Well, we need to leave Sierra Vista or wherever God's put you, you know, leave it in a better place than the way you found it. Not let things happen and, well, whatever will be. No. We want to have influence in America. Spirit-filled Christians, I say close, are the biggest threat to the devil. We must stand, and if we do so, favor will increase for the true church, resulting in a great harvest for America. And as America goes, so does the world at this time. We are the wall of fire against the enemy. Our influence on the world stage is undeniable, but it requires for each of us to take our place, to respond to the call.